I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM760 Progressive Talk. All morning we've been making fun of community credentials because it's a silly term. Anyway, we're going to be talking to the Obama campaign about how to get your community credentials to see Barack Obama at Invesco Field when he opens up the process to all of us. Yahoo! Okay. I may or may not be there. I'm still working on trying to get there. But if I can't, enjoy the convention in spirit. And Hillary's supporters are working on giving her a parade on August 26th to celebrate the giving the vote to women, although I'm sure that gives certain people like maybe Scott and Vince pause giving women the vote. But hey, all right, you know, what Scott said about taxes, national health care, energy, national defense, lower taxes, all good, but a lot of it incorrect. And so I'm going to talk about it coming up as we weave in. But I also know that Roosevelt and Denver have been hanging in, and John and Longmont, in Longmont as well. So I want to get to you first out of the box. But I am going to address Scott's issues regarding the differences between Barack Obama and John McCain, because a lot of it is that just that right-wing reactionary, we grew up listening to Ronald Reagan, we think everything he says is right, lower taxes, good for, or maybe trickle-down economics. It's like, really doesn't work, really hasn't. Economy better under Clinton. You know, economy better under Clinton. Yes, higher tax, making more money, good. So let's say you make, you know, 100 grand and your tax is 30%. But if you only make 80 grand and your taxes is 20%, you still don't have as much money. You know what I'm saying? You have 60% instead of 70,000. See? So it does 60,000 rather than 70,000. So it doesn't make sense, really, does it? No. And the problem is that the way they stack the deck and the throwing the healthcare into crisis, which is this incredible mess of unregulated nonsense where costs are allowed to zoom out of control and people get their healthcare from emergency rooms, is absolutely stone cold insane. And Barack Obama's health care, by the way, isn't mandatory. It is selected by people if they want it, as they want it. And there are going to be special arrangements made for people who can't afford it. See, going to the emergency room, raising costs into nosebleed territory. Sorry, the so-called privatization hasn't worked. And we're lagging behind in every other Western country in terms of quality, cost, affordability, and availability of health care. So, taxes. Barack will raise them. See explanation about taxes. Energy policy. Barack is infinitely more intelligent. He wasn't the one who talked about a 10-year goal to get rid of fossil fuel. That was Al Gore. He has a mixture of ways to get to a better place, including sparking investment into hybrid, into technologies, in order to fuel the development of those particular technologies. Good. We need it. It's a matter of national defense. And as to national defense, if you really think we're better off now than we were 7 years ago in terms of national security, by all means, vote for John McCain. He agrees with George Bush on down the line. But if you really think we're better off and safer now than we were 7 years ago, then please vote for McCain. But you're incorrect. We're not safer. We're more in danger than ever. There are loose nukes around. One of the things I love about Barack Obama's plan the most is he really wants to go after securing loose nuclear materials. So on every single score, I think Barack Obama is a better candidate, a better man, a more intelligent choice. But that's me. But I do it by facts. And the facts are we're not safer than we were. Factually, Iran has done nothing but increase its power thanks to our stupid, illicit, illegal, incredibly heinous invasion of Iraq. Roosevelt in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. How are you, Roosevelt?
I'm just fine, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty swell.
All right, cool. I'm doing wonderful. Did Scott just say he was 20 years old and spent 6 years in the military?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. But I spent some time in the military myself, and I'm chasing the education benefits. Thank God I don't have to go for disability or anything like that. But John McCain doesn't seem to be for that, so hopefully Scott thinks about that as well. But Aaron, I just wanted to say that you're great, though. Jay is cool, but you're great, and I was surprised that you weren't working full-time when I first heard you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of issues. The guy before Scott, I think his name was Chuck, he was talking about the race thing, and I don't necessarily think John McCain is, I'm sure he's trying to take advantage of the fact that he's black and saying it in subliminal messages just like the Clintons were. But I don't think it's really on that. I think they're just mudslingers. That's what they do by nature, Barack Obama and the
American to belittle anybody. I think they'd be busy belittling Hillary right now, too.
Exactly. He belittles his wife, you know what I mean? So to think that he wouldn't belittle Barack Obama, you know what I'm saying, is hard to even imagine. So I just think that's what they do by nature. I think Barack Obama, the American people are well above that. It's obvious because he's even in the position that he's in that we're well past some of the things that held us back in the past. Although we do have a lot of work to do, black people for sure are going to hold Barack Obama accountable just like the American people hold him accountable. But I don't think we need to use or be fearful that race is going to is going to hamper our victory here with Barack Obama. I also wanted to ask you about Hillary Clinton and her delegates having to vote at the convention.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure of the whole story.
I thought she'd ruled it out, but then I read a story last night that says she has not ruled it out.
Right.
Which I would say indicates something called backroom negotiations are still going on between the Obama campaign and the Clinton campaign, and we'll see. And maybe something depends on, you know, Bill Clinton. I don't know if you saw that interview with Kate Snow of ABC, but he looked so defensive.
Right. No, I didn't see that, but I heard you talking about it. Right.
Yeah, he looked really angry still. And it was interesting. I was listening to Dee Dee Myers last night. You know, she used to be the press secretary at the White House. You remember her. And she's married to Todd Purdom, who's picked on Clinton a number of times in some articles. But she was saying that they used to have, because Bill Clinton is so tetchy and has such a temper, they used to have him practice his answers for the press often with Al Gore in the room. And they would ask him a question, and Clinton would go off on this really defensive, nasty tirade. And Al Gore would say something like, that was good. Great. And then they would all burst out laughing, and he would give a second answer, and he would be better. And she was saying, without that filter, he's coming across as much more defensive and angry.
Right. Well, I can imagine. I mean, it was an amazing once-in-a-lifetime type race, and I know there were a lot of emotions involved.
Yes.
A lot of people were disappointed. So, I mean, I understand the emotion behind it. I really just hope it's not a... I hope Hillary is not... I know her intentions are good, but I hope it doesn't divide us any further.
I think
we definitely need to come together. I am so looking at you. Yeah, community credentials, that is a funny word, but I am so looking forward to that. I think that's amazing that they're doing that for the citizens of Colorado. So
me too.
I think we definitely...
Do you have yours yet? We better jump on them. I'll get you the number. Yeah. We've had two numbers this morning, but I don't think either one of them is working correctly. So
We're
going to make sure we get the information. But you can go to BarackObama.com and get some information, I'm pretty sure.
I surely will.
So go, jump on it, because you don't want to miss them.
I sure will, Aaron. Thank you for your time. I just wanted to say that when you were talking about the alcohol a little bit earlier, that is so real. I think unless you've been there, you really don't know what
it feels like.
And I just appreciate your honesty with that. That made me love you, so I appreciate you on that. And
thank you, Rachel.
I really hope that the Democratic Party comes together. I'm actually a registered independent, but of course I'm Barack Obama all the way. And we all need to come together and get behind and just make it happen.
All right. So now, do you think Hillary should be his vice president?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I think it would be a phenomenal ticket. And I know Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, is fine on her own. But I know together, if everybody comes together and it's a mutual agreement of how things are going to happen, I think the world will change, no doubt. But everybody has to be on board. Everybody has to have the same motivations, and everybody just needs to follow the leader. You know what I mean? And everybody will be heard, and everybody will be counted. What I'm really looking forward to, though, is Bill Richardson as Secretary of State. That's what I'm really looking forward to. I'm really looking to see what that team is like.
I am too, boy. And I think it'll be mixed. I think there'll be Republicans and Democrats on it, and maybe a few independents too, Roosevelt. And I think that'll be a very good thing for our country.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I agree.
thank you so much for your call, Roosevelt, and thanks for being so honest and so upfront and kind to Hillary, too, because I've got a note here from Thomas, and she says, Aaron, please have some respect for Hillary's supporters. It was an extremely close race, and who won is debatable. No, it's not. This morning, you are disclosing the fact that you are and have been extremely biased towards Obama. I and many others are still very bitter about the nomination and still may not vote. Well, you know, I think that's sad, because if Hillary had won, I would vote for her. I would vote for her with pleasure. The reality is she was losing from almost the very beginning, and it was the way that the primaries were done, and Terry McAuliffe set it up that way. I can't help that. They, you know, in part, Howard Dean also set it up that way, and they did it because they wanted to have, you know, a 50-state solution, but the reality is they thought it would be over in February. And so she stacked the deck and didn't run in states like mine, which happens to be not a primary state. It's a caucus state. And they completely ignored it. And even her supporters are admitting now that they made some terrific tactical errors. You know, are you going to be mad at Barack Obama for running a better campaign? Okay, but he did clearly win. 303-713-7600. And yes, I'm biased, but I can also be an objective observer. And I wouldn't mind Hillary as vice president, but I do think that lines of demarcation have to be clear. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Joan, hang in. I'll get to you next break. Colorado's progressive traffic, it is on AM 760. And here's John with traffic.
Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and the Democratic nominee for President of the United States.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart. It's 9:21 on the J. Marvin Show. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. War No More, that's been part of our topic this morning. And thanks, Vince, for your third letter of this morning. Enjoy your day. If a letter is more than 10 paragraphs long, I normally synopsize it. And it wasn't just because you're a conservative. And I would take deep exception with your interpretation of the Roosevelt administration. And you know what? So would most historians, just to let you know. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760. Was that condescending? I don't know. I did whisper, but I whispered to be funny more than to be condescending, dude. 303. You're probably listening to Rosen now anyway. 303-713-7600. Joan in Longmont, welcome and thank you for joining us. I do read your email, even if I don't respond to all of them. And you can write me at Aaron@AaronHartShow.com. Hi, Joan.
Hey, Aaron. You know, I've been listening. It's great to talk to you because I remember listening to you, what, 12 years ago? How long has it been since you were
working full-time in Denver? That's about right. Thank you for remembering.
I really enjoyed you back then. I was sorry we lost you.
Me too.
It's good to hear you this week, and I wanted to address, because this is really starting to drive me bananas, all these conservatives and capitalists who, and you touched on this earlier, who go around spouting, you know, we can't have this because, you know, it'll be bad for the market. They have no clue what they're talking about. They don't know what capitalism is. They all think it just means, like, I can have a business and no one should touch me and I have no responsibilities and I can do whatever I want. They, you know, they think extreme laissez-faire. And, you know, there's, like, theoretical capitalism that is like that, but that has never been how any
operated. Yeah, and it sounds like theoretical communism sounds kind of lovely, but in practicality it's odious and horrifying. So, you know, capitalism, laissez-faire capitalism sounds good, but I don't think anybody, including Andrew Carnegie, ever anticipated, and who's the guy, Adam Smith, ever anticipated the government not regulating things.
Yeah, there's still some obligations that go with that concept.
Well, we build their highways. We build the freeways with which they can transport goods. If we do build a system of high-speed rail in this country that will carry both passengers and commerce, then guess what? The taxpayer will chip in, and the companies can, and the big moguls can pay taxes because they're directly reaping the benefits of being able to get their goods and services across the country.
Exactly. And the government gives them, I mean, tons of incentives. Look at Martin Marietta. You know, they've been in business because of the government all these years. And, you know, they definitely benefit from government interplay. So that's a ridiculous concept.
Yes, it is.
The other thing is with the I'm a conservative. I think like they all hopped on the bandwagon with Rush Limbaugh when he hit it big, and mm-hmm. and they think that's what it is, and they don't know Barry Goldwater. And there's a lot of conservatives out there who are putting as much distance between, that new fad concept of conservatism and what the real philosophies originally were, such as Mickey Edwards, who was an Oklahoma. I can't remember whether he was this representative or he was some kind of.
I think he was a congressman. I think so. I'll Google him while you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, he was on Bill Moyers a few weeks ago, and he was just fascinating. And, he was saying that anyone in their right mind who's conservative would listen to what Al Gore has to say and acknowledge climate change at the very least, wouldn't be concerned with, the cause of it, but would be concerned with protecting the business end of it. Doesn't mean they do what Al Gore tells them to do, but they would be concerned about protecting businesses by doing something. And then I've also been listening to Thomas Frank quite a bit, who has a new book out.
I loved What's the Matter with Kansas.
Yeah, I think his new one is called Wrecking Crew.
Okay.
And he talks about how these people, the Rush Limbaugh, we'll have to come up with a good coin for that, but how they confuse cultural issues with conservatism, mm-hmm. And how they get so fixated on, gay marriage or abortion, and that's sort of along the lines of Kansas, that they, again, are not paying attention to what the whole concept is really about and what they are supposed to be espousing. So I'm really over it, listening to some of these people who are, think they know what they're talking about, and they don't know about economics are complicated. Trickle-down does not work.
It does not work, and it's pretty much been discredited.
We wouldn't be where we are right now.
I know. I'm really glad you called, Joan. And Mickey Edwards was a congressman, and he wrote a great article that I just sent myself called Why I'm Done Defending the Man Dick Cheney is an Error and Why I'm Done Defending the Man I've Known for Years.
Yes.
Came up when
yes.
I Googled him. So I'll be delighted to find out.
Very reasonable man.
Yeah,
That show, that Bill Moyers show is on you can get a podcast of it for free, too, from iTunes.
I'll just double check that out. Great.
Very worth listening to. So, anyways, people don't know what they're talking about here.
All right. Well, we've set them straight, girl.
Can I add one more quick thing?
Please.
I think, did you see the interview with Bill Clinton yesterday?
I did.
I was thinking, he just made it clear that she's never going to be vice president. He's going to be such a problem. For anyone.
It's 14 minutes long, and I overruled playing it this morning, but I may play it for people tomorrow because we're going to check in with the convention folks about the convention credentials, and I don't want to step on that.
Yeah.
But I think I may just play it in its entirety tomorrow in the 6 o'clock hour, and maybe we'll discuss it.
And this parade bit and stuff, I'm just very disappointed with them.
I'd want a parade normally for women's suffrage. Want one.
Yeah.
But their whole way is to try to grandstand. And since she hasn't taken her delegates off the table, it's like, stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah.
You lost. Oh, well.
Yeah. And you said you would be helpful. And I don't see either of them being particularly helpful.
She is going out on the campaign trail for him this week. And she's going with Bill Richardson to one or two states, too. So.
Well, that's
she is hitting the camp. No, she's hitting, and she's doing a voter registration event, too, in all fairness.
Yeah, but they got to keep Bill quiet. I'll tell you. Send him somewhere. But
well, you heard what I said about Dee Dee and the governors he needs on him. It's like, whoa, I guess so. Thanks so much for your call, Joan. I appreciate it. And thanks for remembering my prior work, too. Well, thank you. 928, I'm Aaron Hart. Now, I obviously worked elsewhere in the last 12 years a lot, but, I love to work. So let's get me a job. Write them at am760.net. Write them. Write Chris Olinger. Tell her to give me a job. Please. Marquez in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Hey.
How you doing there, Aaron? I ain't talked to you in a while. Nice to hear you again.
Well, thank you, Marquez. I remember you, actually. I was in Denver the last time I talked to you, Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah, sure was. Good memory. I was just hearing the guy, I guess it was two guys, the previous, that was talking about no taxes or he wants less in taxes and everything. But I'm like this, and the argument we give them why we need these social institutions to help propel these people, once they get into these establishments, the people with these ideas, they get in there and this is an intentional way when they get, say, like his attitude, he'll be the first one to go apply for a government job if there was social jobs. So he'll go in there and some way, somehow, not indirectly, but break government, not attend to some of the needs or be that force to go out there and help these institutions. But basically what I'm trying to say is if you have a strong, robust social net that propels people up, my thing is it will dry up eventually if families have inherently taking care of their wealth, their savings, money, stocks, bonds, assets, to the point where the whole nation is vibrant. That argument where you don't want to pay taxes and you don't want to take care of people.
Yeah, what you're saying
dry
is,
up.
Yeah, you want it. What you're saying is that you want to thumb your nose and stake a big raspberry to the your fellow citizens across the 50 states.
Right.
And you know, here's my problem with that. We need, you know, everybody goes, oh, Roosevelt, what a socialist, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes, he was influenced in part by having to run against Eugene V. Debs the first time. But, you know, the reality is by building Hoover Dam, by building all of the things we built with the Works Project Administration, by setting up the National Parks with the Conservation Corps, we changed the nation for the better for decades to come by having a compact of Social Security so that you don't have to live in fear that you'll go to the poorhouse when you're old.
Yeah, I'm mainly focused on the family structure, that outside social nets, yeah, but the family structure, like education, and especially telling people the truth on where income, the monetary system, that education that propels people to know where their money is being spent. Because half of the battle is we don't have a better understanding of where money comes from,
That's true.
Money is, or these little details that tell people, look, we need to, our taxes, where our taxes go, income tax, where the hell does our income taxes go? I mean, we got so many taxes that go elsewhere to help, to serve, you know, schools, roads and stuff. Where does that money go?
No, it's true. And one of the things you should keep track of, too, is how much of our income is having to go to service our debt. Thank you, George Bush.
Well,
thank you so much for your points, Marquez. Good to talk to you again. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll listen up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. I've got to go jump to traffic. It's 9:32. We're running out of time for today. 9:32. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm filling in on the J. Marvin Show. Stand by for Colorado's Progressive Traffic with John Turk. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. Welcome and thank you for joining me. Natalie Wyeth, press secretary, will be coming up shortly to talk with us about those community credentials. So we'll get the straight skinny on that. Greg in Lakewood, welcome and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm pretty swell. You?
Yeah, good, good. I'd like to say hello as a native to a native.
Hey, native.
Not
we're
many
natives.
Of us out there.
We could have Colorado native bumper stickers.
You know, we could. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for yesterday, just taking Eddie apart at the last part of your show. That was just fantastic.
Yeah, I shouldn't have waited to call until the last minute.
Yeah, I started to fall in love with you a little bit, so don't tell my wife, but
okay,
that was just absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
But moving on to the Hillary thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't really understand the animosity on the Clinton side of it. I mean, this is somebody that, if I remember right, was up like 20 to 30 points at one time and just basically got annihilated. She ran a really poor campaign. And if anybody did go negative at all, it was definitely the Clintons.
Well, I think she got better. I don't think she was served well by Bill's tirades and outbursts and his remarks in South Carolina. I don't think that worked well for him. And I think she personally got a lot better. I think their strategy sucked. What they basically did was they said, we're going to annihilate him in all the primaries. We're going to get 30% of the African-American vote. But, you know, while they weren't looking, the Obama campaign knew they had to win Iowa because they knew that they had to show that Barack Obama could win in a white state.
Right.
That was part of what they had to show. And so they went after it just as hard and heavy as they could. Probably to the detriment of their efforts, I don't know. I've never read this, and I'm surely speculating, let me just state. But they didn't do as well as they could have, perhaps, in New Hampshire because of that. But they went after it. They went after the vote in Ohio. I know in part because every candidate was in Ohio. But I happen to have a cousin who lives there, and I talked to him several times, even on the air. And he was saying, Obama's people are everywhere. You know, and they worked it. They worked it in every single caucus state. They ran a 50-state campaign.
Well,
the Clintonistas,
a lot of states.
They ran a primary state campaign. They wanted to have a big blowout on Super Tuesday,
right,
and make it inevitable. But what happened instead was by Super Tuesday, Barack Obama had so many delegates that it was going to be extremely hard for her to overcome, and it kept getting increasingly harder, even though she was winning primaries. Now, I know it looks like to her supporters that she was winning, therefore it was close, but that's not really the case. If you listen closely to the news reports at the time, they were all really telling the truth. They were doing the same math that we were all doing, which is when you do the math with the delegate count being proportionally the way it was, she had no true chance of winning unless she literally blew it out for the rest of the time.
Well, and I, you know, South Carolina, that Bill Clinton's comments, that was a game changer right there.
Yeah, no,
so
I
know. So if he's mad about losing, he should look in the
himself.
Mirror.
Yeah.
And basically all I hear is, well, we need to show her respect, this, that, and the other. Well, I really think the way that she treated Barack, I don't see why that.
I think she did a number of fence mending things that were absolutely spot on and good in the end. I think she gave a great closing speech. It took her a while, but she finally on that Saturday gave a great speech, in all fairness to her. And I also, although it was pathetic when they were down in the basement,
I thought it was pretty poor.
I thought the final speech was good. I think the one that she gave when they were down in the basement so they couldn't see any monitors, that was really pathetic.
Yeah, it was bad.
But on the other hand, it must have been really hard because she really thought she was the anointed one and she really thought it was her year. When she gave that speech on Saturday, though, I understood for the first time why she kept running against all odds. And the reason she kept running against all odds was she did want to set the precedent that 18 million people voted for a woman candidate and that the glass ceiling had been cracked. And when she said that, I still didn't think it was necessarily great, but I understood it better.
I think that is great. I would have to say I thought she was disingenuous in her comments.
And maybe that's true.
To take a sports analogy, or a couple, really, I mean, she choked and she's a poor sport.
Well, I won't say that. But I do think that Bill Koster helped cost her the election. I think that.
Well, let me ask you this.
I think it's sad.
She can actually kind of force her way into the vice presidency if they do a roll call. Is that correct?
Not technically. I think the rules have changed. I think the candidate still gets to play it. I think they just wanted her to be able to say her delegates because she got so many. And she did.
She really did get some.
But she didn't get enough, and that's the point. She did not win enough. Barack Obama is the choice of the majority of the delegates, and that's the way it goes.
Right.
If it had been reversed, you and I would have to be going, "Well, I hope Hillary picks Barack Obama." You know, and there would be better reasons for Hillary to pick Barack Obama than it is for the reverse. And
well,
that's sad, too, but it's just the facts.
What I see is I don't really see them as being very compatible.
No,
I don't see her being able to take the lesser role.
I think it's going to be very difficult.
I'm not comfortable with her being, you know, the vice president. You're basically the attack dog.
I want Hillary
I'm
to be
I'm not comfortable with her in that role.
I want her to be secretary of... I think she'd fight like hell, but I want her to
she
be
would.
Secretary of State, and I want her to, or to be majority leader of the Senate. That's what I wish for her. Or to run for president again in 2016. I'll vote for her when she's older. I will, if nobody else is running against her who I like
looking,
better.
There is also, you know, I'm kind of thinking that this is really, you know, she's trying to sabotage it almost.
Oh, I don't think so. Thank you very much for your call.
Bet.
I appreciate it, though. And Vince in Commerce City, you're up next. Thank you very much for calling.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Vince.
Interesting conversation there, because I'm going to go the opposite way, and I just really made up my mind this morning, as I was telling the gentleman. I think she'd be good as vice president, a good selection for Barack, and not for all the reasons that, you know, just bringing the party together. I think that that says what it says, and that's just common sense. And I believe would help him win the election. I think they would win it by a landslide. Let's face it, almost as many people that
he could use
him.
Some help. Look, he could use some help in Ohio and Florida. He's winning Pennsylvania on his own now. But he could use some help in Ohio and Florida. That would pretty
right.
much put it in the tank for him. And Nevada could be shoved in a direction. They've got a big Latino population, and she's very popular among Latinos, although he's getting 66% to 23% versus McCain. But I think there are good arguments to argue for her. My principal concern is Bill, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah. If I'm him, I come out and I make her my vice presidential choice. But as I was saying to the gentleman, there's a lot to be done. I mean, every nook and cranny
so much.
Of our country is in, you know, has seen its trouble, and some more than others. And even though they didn't agree on the war, where to go or whatever, they do have a lot of common areas as well. And for him, if he wanted to make a successful partnership, she's such a strong person. Even as first lady, that I literally would bring it to the people and say, number one, she as almost as many of you wanted my vice presidential selection as did me. That's number one. And I've always said this is about us. This is about you, the American people. And now let's talk about qualifications. Is this person?
Absolutely, she did prove that she's absolutely qualified, and I think you're absolutely right about that. And I'll think about that. We'll ruminate on that some more tomorrow. Thank you very much, Vince. I appreciate it. Nigel in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Sorry, I'm trying to get everyone in before we go for our interview. Thanks, Nigel. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hello, Aaron. I just wanted to say, like I told John, that you're the best sixth woman in Progressive Talk Radio.
Why? Thank you. Wow, that's cool. Thank you.
Rachel
Maddow is pretty good. But anyway, go ahead.
but you're coming off the bench helping everybody, so that's why you're the sixth woman. But I was listening to how other commentators will talk about Hillary. I think Hillary should be the vice president as well. I don't care that she was cuffed from Barack in the primary. She had this right now.
She's a scrapper.
She's in, quote unquote, a man's game. So she had to show, hey, I got some teeth too. You know, I can go with the best of them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? She got to show that she's tough, because nobody would vote for her if she was just a pushover. You know what I mean?
You got
that
right.
She was just nice, because then they say, oh, she's not tough enough. She's a woman. You know, that's how us men.
Oh, I've heard all
of
that. Yeah, and then they call you a witch if you're strong. But anyway, it's okay. We can both take it.
For some of us who grew up with a good, strong woman as a mother, we don't care. So.
Yeah.
I think. For a lot of reasons, should be good for all the voter turnout. I think is the main reason. Together combined, what do they have? Like over 50 million or something like that?
Yeah, it would be astounding, because he got about as many total votes as she did, if not slightly more. So that's it's 36 million if you count it all up. But they would get quite a few millions of people, and I think they'd get most of the independents too. You would have the hate Hillary Clinton factor on the right, but they're going to be nasty no matter what happens. So
right.
I think worrying about that is kind of futile.
And you know, I think us people heard it so much that it wouldn't even affect our decision, because we've heard it so many years. We heard it for 8 years straight.
Yeah, and the people who hate Hillary no matter what.
Exactly,
so,
and they're just right-wing nuts anyway. So.
Thanks very much. I have to go to a break because we have an interview planned. Thank you so much. We're going to hear about how you can get those community credentials coming right up. Who thought of that name? We're going to ask that, too. Natalie Wyeth, I can't resist being a bit of a scamp, press secretary of the Democratic National Convention Committee, coming right up. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin on this fine station, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I was just looking over the story. I wonder if that includes Washington. Natalie Wyeth, press secretary of the Democratic National Convention Committee, will join us briefly to talk about just how do we get those community credentials. And I'll be looking forward to hearing about that, Natalie, because I'm a little confused. And I think we had a number wrong this morning. So I want to make sure we give everybody the straight skinny.
Hi, Aaron. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Hi, great. Good to hear from you. We may have had the right number, but what number do people call, Natalie, to get these community credentials?
Well, let me say, I think for folks with internet, the website is the best bet.
Is it?
And,
okay.
Yeah, and the address for that is no www. You just start with co.barackobama.com/Invesco. And that'll take you to more information right off the bat, especially for the folks listening in Colorado.
Okay, let me just repeat that. It's no www, just
no,
co.barackobama.com slash Invesco.
Correct.
Okay. And for people outside.
And if it's easier for folks, they can go straight to our website at demconvention.com.
Okay.
And get a link from there to the Obama campaign's website for more information. So that's just demconvention.com. So I direct folks to pursue the web avenue first and foremost. That's probably going to be easiest because we are experiencing such a high volume of calls, of course. People are very, very excited, so the lines are lighting up.
Well, that may be part of the reason why our numbers weren't working is because they were so busy they were going crazy.
Could be. The phone number is 888-468-7404.
7404. Okay. Yeah, John did have it right. I did not. I had misheard it. But 888-468-7404.
Correct.
Well, good to know. So how's the I bet the response has been crazy since the phones are going crazy.
It's great. And it's such a great feeling to know how invested this community and this state is in this convention. I think that's what we've seen through this entire process. But this really hits home. I mean, we feel so appreciated and so welcome through this entire process, but particularly since we've announced this ticketing process, folks have really, really shown how passionate they are and interested they are in really taking part in a historic experience.
Who came up with the name Community Credential?
A bunch of us, actually. I won't take credit for it. It was a team effort.
Okay. We were poking a little fun at it this morning. So we were like, it's a ticket. Community credentials, great. Now, people will then apply for it. And what kind of vetting system? Because, for example, I don't technically live in Colorado, although I'm a native. If I wanted to go, say, because I'm a delegate, actually, but I did not make it to national. So let's say that somebody from out of state or somebody from New Mexico or Arizona wants to go. How do they go?
Yeah, again, those folks should go to our website, demconvention.com, and then you'll have a drop-down menu where you can just choose your state, and it'll give you more information for a number to call, a website to visit. And we're doing it that way. But we have provided every state and territory with an allotment of community credentials to come be a part of this, because it really is important that we bring people from all over the country for this special night. I mean, we did want to pay particular recognition to Colorado, the entire Rocky Mountain West, and the Southwest by giving them such a large portion of the tickets.
Well, no small part because you want those electoral college votes in those states.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are going to compete in this region. That is no question at all.
It's so exciting. For somebody who grew up in the region, I'm like, yes, we're finally turning blue. Now, Natalie Wyeth, let me ask you another question. In terms of this, how many tickets are gone? I know about 2/3 are up for grabs of the 70 or so thousand. What kind of vetting process is it? And then do you have to pay your own expenses to get to the convention?
Yeah, well, the Obama campaign has talked a little bit about the process folks will go through once they have signed up to apply for tickets. It is quite a rigorous process because we want to make sure every seat is filled, and every seat is filled with someone that really wants and deserves to be there, that is, you know, interested in experiencing this historic moment. And we are not using a party litmus test. You don't have to be a Democrat. You can be a Republican. You can be an independent.
Wow.
But you do need to make your case to the Obama campaign as far as how you're going to get here, your travel, your accommodation. And, you know, folks are left to their own devices to put their trip together. But we think everyone will be incredibly thrilled to be here with us for that night.
Of course. No. I just wanted to make clear because, you know, some people have economic concerns and may have to figure it out. I mean, I'm lucky. I have family in Colorado. I always have places to stay, and I like road trips anyway.
And that's what we found. So many people are looking to stay with family and friends. I mean, just speaking for myself, I have a few different friends staying with me convention week. You know, the hotels have filled up pretty much at this point because we've had so much interest over this entire last year since we opened our offices here in 2007. But folks are resourceful, and we fully expect that people will be here and fill each and every seat at Invesco Field.
That sounds fabulous. And I gather that special precautions are being taken to make a corridor in terms of the connection to the PepsiCo Center, and so to make sure that everybody's safe, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our transportation and operation teams have been hard at work for more than a year putting the Pepsi Center plan together. Mm-hmm. We've had about the last month to put an Invesco plan together. We're, to a large extent, replicating a lot of the plans we'd put together for the first venue with our second venue. So it's worked out quite nicely so far, and the Denver Police Department and the city has been a great resource and partner for us through this entire process.
Well, and you've got extra police coming in from other states and everything else, right? So
yeah, they do. The city has been working on that for quite some time.
Cool. Well, Natalie, well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. So once again, it's no www. It's just co.barackobama.com/Invesco.
Correct.
Or demconvention.com. Click on the appropriate links to apply for your community credentials or dial 888-468-7404. Go for the internet first. It's easier and faster and better.
Correct.
How's
Thanks
that
so
sound?
Much, Erin.
All right. Thank you, Natalie. I appreciate it. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. I think we have, no, we don't have time to squeeze you in, Bill. I don't think. I think my out's a little too early for that, hearing the music. Sorry, Bill. We'll get you tomorrow. We'll talk about Bill Clinton's interview. We'll talk about the convention. We'll talk about the Olympics. And we're out. See you tomorrow.